south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, let's clean up some of these emails first. This one's from Frank's mom. Hey, I get it. Don't take responsibility yourself. Put it on your mom. Hey, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to try to get my mom to do things, too. She wouldn't bite, which is exactly the opposite of what I see parents do to their kids today. They do everything for their kids. Moms and dads, just a little tip here. You have to let your kids fail once in a while. You know, fall down, scuff their knees, get a bloody nose once in a while. It's good for the soul. Oh, I forgot. Today's kids are so precious. They all need to be protected from everything. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to go on an unrelated rant right off the bat. Anyway, this is from Frank's mom. Or maybe it's Frank putting it off on his mom. We'll never know. Okay, it starts. First of all, I like your solar information. It's great. Keep it coming. I plan to go off the grid myself or at least supplement my own power. And please send me the info and pics of your water treatment setup. That info is great too. Don't listen to those who say they don't want to hear about that kind of stuff. That's what the skip ahead button is for on your podcast app. Thanks again, Johnny. Frank or Frank's mom, whatever. That reminds me, I've been meaning to ask you guys out there, do you listen to my podcast in real time, or do you speed me up and listen in double time so I sound like an Italian castrate? Personally, when I listen to podcasts, I always pump them up to at least 1.5. I've got that, you know, short attention span problem going. Though, admittedly, I'm not smart enough to absorb technical or engineering info at double speed. I gotta listen to it like a normal person. Speaking of hyperspeed, you know, one of the best things they ever did at engineering school in my very first semester is they made us all, freshmen, take a speed reading course. You boomers must remember Evelyn Wood. She had that famous speed reading course way back when. In fact, John Kennedy took it. And supposedly, at least the papers reported that he used to read something like 5 or 6 newspapers a day. And you know, I for one don't believe it, even if he did speed read. I think I mentioned this some years ago in a past show, so bear with me. Because I'll tell you what, I learned to read 2,000 words a minute. But man, it's hard work, you gotta concentrate, and it's really fatiguing. Since the average person reads only 200 to 250 words per minute, 2,000 words a minute is really cranking it. In fact, statistics show that if you read at 1,000 words per minute, you're in the upper 1% of all readers. I can do it, but it's no fun. So I never read a book that fast when I wanna really enjoy it. And if it's scientific and technical stuff, man, I stay down low. But if it's some kind of report or PDF that I feel I have to read, but really have no great interest in, but I would like to have the information, I'll pump it up to 1,000, even 2,000. But don't try that at home if you want to actually enjoy what you read. Besides that, your brain will overheat. Well, there I go again. Another unrelated rant. Sorry about that. But again, I'd like your feedback on whether or not you listen to the show at normal speed or on Nitro. And as for that request by Frank's mom, or is it Frank? Concerning water purification, you longtime listeners know that wherever I stay, if it's long term, I'll hook up my 3-canister under the sink model with a little dispenser tap mounted to the sink. And I've got my portable unit too. It's a modified Sawyer purifier with an activated charcoal adapter. Well, funny thing, just yesterday, it was big news all over the internet. Here's the headline. Popular bottled water brands contain toxic forever chemicals, according to Consumer Reports magazine. And you know, if there's one outfit I really trust, it's Consumer Reports. In fact, at one of my earlier expat insider seminars, 2 people who worked at Consumer Reports signed up and came down. So I got the skinny on the outfit from the horse's mouth. Now, if you remember, a couple of shows ago, I was talking about how plastics are everywhere. They're finding them in practically all animal and human tissue. We're talking about micro and nanoparticle-sized plastics that are called forever chemicals because they never really go away. And your body really doesn't have any way to flush them out because, let's face it, plastics have only existed about 100 years or so. So in the grand scheme of human and animal evolution, your body doesn't recognize them, is confused, and absolutely doesn't know what to do with them. Same thing goes for the more than 10,000 preservatives and additives that are in our foods these days. In fact, the FDA maintains a list of over 3,000 just color additives. And they're all new sort of Franken-chemicals that did not exist before 100 years ago. So your body has not had the proper span of time, which would be millennia, to figure out how to process them and get rid of them. We're just exposing our bodies to all kinds of brand new long-chain chemicals that are pretty much completely foreign to our bodies. Look at it this way. The vast majority of people from China are lactose intolerant. That means if they have any kind of milk products at all, they get bloated, have reactions, and get intestinal issues. And that's because the Chinese masses have only been exposed to Western diets for about the past 30 years. It's been estimated that it'll take a couple more generations before the masses of Chinese develop lactase. That's the enzyme necessary to process milk products. And little by little, they will. Meanwhile, in the past 50 years, the human race has been hit with 10,000 artificial man-made food additives. And you don't think that confuses every cell in your body? Which brings us in a roundabout way to bottled water. First, I have to admit, every gringo and expat I know here in Latin America drinks bottled water. And a lot of people carry a bottle with them, a plastic bottle. I don't. I purify my own water, and I've got a cooler in the back of my car where I always carry a couple of glass or stainless steel bottles. Now, of course, the question has come up. Even all the nice water purifier systems, like the one I have too, have plastic parts in them. And practically all the tubing in North American and Central and South American homes and businesses is PVC or another kind of plastic too. So then you might think you're screwed from the get-go, right? With those plastic monomers just leaching into the water inside those tubes 24/7. Well, you see, the thing is, any plastics that leach into your water will be absorbed by the final stage of your filter system. That's the carbon block filter. You see, those carbon block filters glom onto everything that's got a carbon atom on it. That's anything organic. And all plastics are built on carbon atoms. So any residue from the plastic pipes or anywhere down the line from the origin of where your water came from will be pulled out by the final stage. At least that's how you should have it set up. With the first stage being a basic, maybe 10 to 25 micron sand and rust filter. They call it a particle filter. Then your next stage will be your 0.1 to 0.5 micron ceramic filter that's impregnated with colloidal silver. And that's the reusable one. When you take it out, you just sand it off with that plastic Brillo kind of pad. And if you're gentle and careful and don't crack the filter, because remember, it's just ceramic, it will last a lifetime. It's also the most expensive component in the system. Probably costs between $25 and $50 on Amazon. Yeah, I know. I have a love-hate relationship with Amazon, too. I love that I can get everything from them, but I hate the politics and their close association with all the scumbag alphabet government agencies. So anyway, that's the second filter in the system. The third filter is the carbon block filter. Now remember, you want to use a solid carbon block, not one of those activated charcoal granulated filters. Sometimes they can look exactly the same, and the only way you can tell the difference is by, of course, what it says on the label, or you can shake it. If it's granulated carbon, it'll go, you'll hear it. And your carbon block filter is a solid piece of carbon. Won't make any noise when you shake it. And when you squeeze that filter, it's rock hard, too. And that filter does what in the industry is called polish your water. Sounds weird, huh? Polish your water. And if you're Eastern European, it'll polish your water. That's right, polish and polish, spelled the same. What it does, it takes out all the organics. That's anything with a carbon chain on it, you know, like plastics. And it removes chlorine and a high percentage of fluoride, too. And that, by the way, is a good indicator as to whether your filter is nearly depleted. When you start smelling or tasting a little bit of chlorine again. Because normally, when it's working fine, there will be no chlorine at all coming out of it. And with normal daily use, let's say for a family of four, a filter like that will probably last you half a year. And the cost for a new one, around $10 or $12. So again, if you want my do-it-yourself plans, you could buy all that stuff at a big pool and jacuzzi supply place or any big hardware store or on Amazon. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you the plans. Back to this Consumer Reports on bottled water. It says they tested 47 different brands and found toxic forever chemicals in every single one. And there's a quote here from James Rogers, Director of Food Safety Research and Testing for Consumer Reports. He says, quote, "These chemicals are called forever chemicals because the way they are put together, it's hard for them to be broken down. They last very, very long. The problem is the FDA and the EPA have selected totally arbitrary standards." Meanwhile, Big Water, yep, there's Big Water too. Wouldn't you know it? Yep, that's right. All soda and bottled water companies belong to an organization called the International Bottled Water Association, IBWA, who immediately countered the recent Consumer Reports analysis by saying, it's misleading and will unnecessarily frighten consumers. You think? Sounds like Big Water and Big Pharma are kissing cousins, huh? So what are PFAS forever chemicals? Well, it's shorthand for polyfluoroalkyl chains, a large group of man-made chemicals used in many consumer products because they're resistant to oil, grease, water, and heat. Mostly found in, get this, non-stick cookware like Teflon, pizza boxes, stain repellents, household products like paints, etc., food wrappers, food containers, and drinking water. It says in total there are almost 5,000 different PFASs. And since they accumulate in the human body over time, they may cause serious health conditions, says none other than the Food and Drug Administration. Fancy that. They're actually coming down on the side of the consumer for once. Then it says when studied in lab animals, large amounts of just two of the most studied PFAS chemicals cause cancer, birth defects, plus have reproductive and developmental, liver, kidney, and immunological consequences. And there are over 5,000 of them floating around your air, water, food, continuously accumulating in every organ in your body. But not to worry, everyone eats and drinks at the same junk food restaurant, so we're all in the same boat, right? And about the safe limits. Well, no one knows, but the EPA sets limits because that's what they do. Though they have no idea if they're setting them at the right thresholds. But it says Consumer Reports found that 7 of the 12 carbonated waters they tested exceeded the EPA's nebulous threshold. Like these familiar favorites. Perrier, LaCroix water, Canada Dry, Poland spring water, Polar water, and a variety of others. Then it says beware especially of carbonated drinks because the process of infusing carbonation into flat water or soda enhances the concentration of PFASs. By the way, it says here, heavy metals showed up in every single sample too, but mostly below the FDA limits. Again, nobody knows if the FDA limits are the correct ones. It's just that they had to pick a number and stick to it. Bottom line, Mr. Rogers, head of the testing at Consumer Reports, says he urges people to do their own research and be aware there can and will be issues with bottled water. Then he says people have to empower themselves, do the research. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, 95% of Americans think the government, the Fed, more stimulus checks and helicopter money will normalize the economy again. In other words, send in the clowns. Then you've got all those millions into fitness who work out at the gym, ride bikes, hike, jog, do Pilates or yoga. Have you noticed that they're all carrying nice, even designer plastic water bottles? And when they carry a metal one, and some do, its internal surfaces are often, unbeknownst to them, coated with a clear plastic. So apparently, no matter how many warnings and cautions are given on the subject, the average guy or gal, even the above average guy or gal, just doesn't seem to give a Though I have to say I've had lots of listeners take me up on my offer to ship you out all the information on my own system, including photos of my permanent but easily disassembled under-the-counter water system and my recommended portable traveling water purifier, too. So, yes, I've sent out my report and instructions on how to assemble these things to hundreds of people. Though I often wonder how many people actually have gone through with it. Though I've had many people say to me, Johnny, look, all of us go to restaurants, we travel, we go to hotels, we go over to people's houses. That means all the food you eat and the water you drink away from home has either come out of the tap and therefore not purified at all, or it's coming from one of those big 5-gallon bottled water tanks you get at the grocery store. As soon as you step out the door of your house, you can't control the environment or the air you breathe, though you can control the air in your house with a nice big HEPA filter. And you can control your food and your water, too. Why not do what you can, at least on the home front? And really, what's so hard about purifying your own water and bringing it along with you in your car? The worst that could happen is people might call you a cheapskate, thinking you're just doing it to save dough. Well, so what? You don't have to explain anything to anyone. And thankfully, it seems to be a truism. The older you get, the less you care about what people think. Why do you think the word curmudgeon and the term crotchety old fill in the blank only apply to older generations? Because, you know, when you're young, you've got to impress those 5,000 Fakebook friends of yours. Oh, and next time you hear someone brag about how many friends they got on Fakebook, Twaddle, or Instacrap, just tell them they ought to check the definition of friend in Webster's. Then they'll see in black and white the people they call friends do not qualify. All right, then comes this email from Brian. He says, on a previous show, you mentioned WhatsApp is owned by Google. You don't make many mistakes, Johnny, on the expat files, but WhatsApp is owned by Facebook, not Google, though that does not make it better. Anyway, thanks for the shows. I've listened to all of them from the very beginning of the archive that started in 2010. I lived in Paraguay in the 80s, and that's probably where I'll end with my days. But until then, I live in Denmark, because I'm Danish. Best regards, Brian. Well, Brian, you got me. And listeners, please do correct me if you catch me in a gaffe. So, thanks for the correction, Brian. You're Danish, huh? You know, there's something really cool about the Danish. No one ever has anything bad to say about them. It seems like all the Scandinavian countries, including New Zealand and Canada, have that reputation. No one ever says anything bad about the people, but their governments, just like everywhere else in the world, really suck. But that's a worldwide phenomena. What else is new? Now, about the Danish. As for me, I love a good Danish, especially with a double espresso. All right, now, here's something that's unrelatably relatable. Seems like here in Latin America, everyone, and I mean everyone, especially between the ages of around 15 to 40, seem to have a tattoo or 10. In fact, it's almost the exception now to come across someone under 40, except for children, who doesn't have a tattoo. And the tattoo parlors are absolutely cleaning up. But the parlors themselves are far from clean. Makes me laugh, though, because occasionally when I'm walking by one of those, I'll stick my head in and I'll see everyone's all masked up, the tattoo artist and the recipient. Meanwhile, the guy's making thousands of minute surgical cuts and invading your bloodstream with a megadose of foreign particles. In fact, and according to one tattoo artist I met, he said, there are lots of suppliers and lots of very good providers of ink, but they're expensive. Meanwhile, there are crap loads of the stuff coming from India and China. A lot of the stuff not intended for tattooing, but people just put them in a fancy bottle and stick a dragon or a lightning rod or a snake on the bottle, have the word tattoo printed on it, and suddenly you have a product that's permanently injected into a human body. Oh, and this is scary. Listen to this. According to the European Joint Research Center, which provides independent scientific advice to the European Commission, they say it's not widely known by the general public, but pigments found in tattoo inks these days can be repurposed and repackaged from the textile ink, plastics, and car paint industry. That, according to a new 118-page Joint Research Council report, which shows various tattoo ingredient analysis and adverse reaction data. Well, they found out almost all tattoo and permanent makeup products contain dangerous substances contaminated by microbes, that's bacteria and viruses, all of which are available in the European market right now. Bottom line, that gigantic report lists in descending order the presence of polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, primary aromatic amines, viruses, bacterium, and other microorganisms, heavy metals, and dozens of different kinds of preservatives. All of that stuff permanently embedded in your body, circulating 24/7 in your bloodstream. Then it says, with Scandinavians being high on the list with multiple tattoos, they also have multiple tattoo problems. Dermatologist Horgan Setup of Bilsberg Hospital in Sweden says he's cared for 500-plus problem tattoo cases. People admitted to the hospital for pigment overload, whatever that is, chronic inflammation, of course, and long-term light sensitivity from the cornucopia of compounds found in various tattoo inks. He says, although you might think there are only pigments in tattoo ink, there are over 100 other additives, with many of them just impurities from industrial production, with the lighter and brighter colored pigments containing the most dangerous stuff, including, get this, mercury sulfide, which was once used as a very popular bright red in tattoo formulations and has been phased out little by little due to the known effects of mercury toxicity. Shades of the thimerosal-mercury connection in vaccines. Now, these days, many tattoo artists are advertising organic pigments, but they only make up about 60% of the colorants. The other 40%? Mystery ingredients. On top of that, according to recent surveys, about 50% of tattoo owners come to regret their ink. And when they have those tattoos removed, it could take 6 or 7 treatments. What people don't know is that laser treatments cause problematic degradation ingredients your body has to deal with. Then it says in a survey of 229 tattoo inks by Swiss regulators, a quarter of the inks analyzed contain the surface cleaner and antiseptic benzoisothiazole, with some of the inks in the study containing preservative formaldehyde, which is classified as a carcinogen. Nice. You get a dose of embalming fluid before you're even dead. Meanwhile, back in the States, where a quarter to a half of all people who've got ink admitting after 10 years they'd like to have one or more of them removed, the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery estimates that one single session for removal costs an average of $463 in the U.S. And since it could take 4 to 8 treatments, you could be out a few grand, even more. That is, if you happen to be a plus-sized, inked-up, single-digit IQ human billboard like Cardi B. By the way, according to a Harris poll, 3 in 10 Americans have tattoos right now, with 7 in 10 under 40, with a quarter to a half of them regretting at least one tat, spending time and effort to cover it up when going out. Oh, and this is strange. In both the U.S. and Central and South America, more women than men have tats, though the monstrously ugly ones are generally found on men, who tend to have the larger ones done while under the influence of something or other. By the way, speaking of tattoos, plastic surgery, and Latinas, after all, this is the Expat Files living in Latin America. Well, you longtime listeners probably heard me say that once in a while, I'll get contacted by a gringo or expat, or someone will come down to my expat insider seminar, and they'll want to see a plastic surgeon for one thing or another, because it is, like all medical treatments, about a quarter of the price or less than it is in the States. So anyway, in doing research for other gringos and expats, I've gotten to know a couple of plastic surgeons. One of them, a Latino surgeon, practicing in Guatemala, who did his plastic surgery residency in New York. Well, he's been known to tell me some wild and crazy plastic surgery stories. I mean, hey, he tells me people want what they want, and if he doesn't want to perform a certain treatment because he doesn't think it's right for a person, they'll just find another surgeon who will do it for him. Good example, Michael Jackson's nose. Hey, to me, it looked fine after about the 14th or 15th surgery. But after around surgery number 300, there was certainly not enough schnoz to work with. But I digress as usual. You might be interested to know what my friend, the Latino plastic surgeon, had to say about the difference between American ladies having plastic surgery and Latinas in Latin America having similar surgeries. He told me with a straight face that when he was doing plastic surgery in New York, up in the States, pretty much every single lady wanted to keep it on the QT. Mum's the word. Of course, the doctor would never say anything, but the ladies themselves would have all kinds of surgeries, but almost never would they want to admit it to their friends and relatives. And when someone would say, hey, you look different, you have something done? That's when the little white lies would come. And the usual response? Well, I've been going to the gym, lots of yoga and Pilates. And that intermittent fasting and keto diet does wonders. Yep, they're evasive about it, all right. Because, you know, up in the States with older ladies anyway, though not much with teenagers or young 20-somethings, there's still kind of a stigma about it. In other words, you get more social score points if you get your six-pack at the gym than at a doctor's office, as opposed to the ladies of Latin America, who have absolutely no compunction talking about it. Because, you see, in Latin America, having plastic surgery is a badge of honor. So Latin American ladies not only get points for looking tighter and younger, they get extra points just based on the fact they could afford to have the surgery done. It shows you're a lady con dinero, of some means. And even though in Latin America, to us anyway, the surgeries are extremely affordable and inexpensive, for Latin Americans whose average monthly salary ranges from $250 to $500 a month, that means for the average girl coming up with the dough is a hardship. Which is why when some girl has surgery, first thing she does is call up her girlfriends and invite them to McDonald's or wherever to show off her stitches, bandages, and scars. And that info comes from the mouth of a U.S.-trained Latin American plastic surgeon. So, ladies and gents, mostly ladies, those of you who've had some nips and tucks, did you downplay or tell any white lies after your surgery? I bet you did. All right, as a final note, I'm sure you've all heard that Eddie Van Halen died. He was 65, had a hip replacement about 20 years ago. Man, at 45, from all that jumping around on stage. Plus, he smoked 4 to 5 packs of cigarettes a day. In fact, if you look at any of those videos, you'll see he's always smoking. He sticks a lit cigarette between the tuning pegs on his guitar, so he's never without one while he's doing his solos. Yep, he continues his trademark finger tapping. Takes another drag, sticks it back between the tuners, and starts whacking away again. Now, about 10 years ago, he had part of his tongue removed due to cancer, smoking, and he had some intestinal surgeries, too. Be that as it may, here's what I have to say about Eddie. I've been in many rock and party bands myself and have known a lot of good, even great guitar players. And in none of those bands did we or anyone else ever cover a Van Halen tune. You want to know why? Because no one could do that finger tapping that Eddie Van Halen invented, though many have tried. No one could do half of what that guy did. In fact, the guitarist I knew didn't even want to attempt it. They all thought the guy was from another planet. The thing is, you could ask any of the living, still famous guitarists, like Jimmy Page, Clapton, Townsend, Jeff Beck. They all say he's a genius who created a completely new way of playing guitar. And you know, that's the definition of genius, coming up with something completely out of the ordinary, completely new, something no one's ever done before. You know, guys and gals who are brilliant, they take something that already exists and improve on it dramatically. But geniuses only come every generation or so, and they develop something completely unknown to anyone else. The thing is, whether you like Eddie Van Halen or not, not only did he develop a brand new way of playing, he was such a virtuoso, no one could really completely copy his technique. And that's why even really good rock bands won't cover his songs, because the lead player would inevitably come up short on the solo. So then how did he do it? How did he come up with that finger-tapping way up the fret thing that no one else ever did? Well, you know, as a kid, he was a concert pianist. How about that? And people who knew him way back when, as a kid, they said he'd open the lid on a grand piano and play the strings with his fingers. So that's how, in his case, the genius thing was cross-pollinated. He needed that grand piano experience to spark the idea of playing with two hands way up the frets. But he also said in various interviews, the idea struck him like a bolt of lightning when he saw Jimmy Page, the lead player for Led Zeppelin, stop strumming and put his hand up in the air, kick his amp up to full volume to generate feedback. That's 11 for all you Spinal Tappers out there. And play the lead part with his left hand without ever strumming or picking the strings, which you normally would do with your pick in your right hand. And that's when Eddie Van Halen said to himself, you know what? I have a better idea. Oh, and here's a strange fact. You know, Eddie Van Halen didn't even speak English till he was 12 years old. Naturally, he took some hard hits from the neighborhood kids when he first arrived in the States. Talk about the great American immigrant success story, huh? I know, you're thinking, what's that have to do with Latin America? Well, it's about the chronic overuse of the word genius. The words genius, love, awesome, and friends on social media are the most overplayed, overused words in the English language. It's why I cringe when I hear somebody say so-and-so is a genius. Worse yet, so-and-so's dog or kid is a genius. Because, you know, at any given time, it seems there's only one true genius in a career field. That's, with luck, one in every generation. And certain geniuses, like Einstein, Newton, and Da Vinci, appear once in every 100 years. And the good news? Of all my years in Latin America, I never heard a parent say his kid was a genius. They seem to know the difference, and Americans don't. So, bottom line, don't tell me your kid, your dog, or your parrot's a genius, or I'll just have to slap you.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.